Today we get the privilege of hearing from a family member of ours. Dr. Jay LaRue is a man of God's word and a man who has a beautiful ministry of prophecy and of speaking. Not prophecy as in what's going to happen in 2 years, but the gift of this is what God's saying to you or to me or to the church in this time. And Jay is, I kind of say, is like a spiritual uncle of our church. He's been with Cornerstone for since I've been here, 14 years. And he's always praying for our church and praying for you. And he stirs up our hunger to hear from God. And so I want to encourage you to open up your hearts wide as we welcome Dr. Jay LaRue.
How about that worship team?
Wow.
Yeah. And the old worship leader did a pretty good job, I thought. Well, not old in age, but old in not doing it so much anymore. Yeah. What a pleasure to be here. I must say to Pastor Sean, Sarah, to the pastoral staff, my brothers and sisters, what an honor and a privilege it is for me to be here this morning, all weekend. The youth on Friday night was great. Last night, the guys. Hannah outdid me without question. She took the show last night. There's no question about it. She said, you weren't there. I said, yes, I was. You didn't hear. I said, I did. So it was a great honor. And again, such a privilege to be with a great people, a great church, with an incredible future, which I'm certainly going to speak about, whether this service or second, we'll see how things go. And my brother's up here helping me with the sound, so appreciate that too. Yeah, yeah. And how about this baptism? Wasn't this amazing? This, right? I signed up for 3 small groups already this morning. I'm going to do my best. We might have to FaceTime me in, but I'll see about, you know, there's a couple of them that I really liked, and I think that I've got to attend them, especially that younger 2 Timothy, 30-year-old and under. That's the one I'm going to. Yeah, some things never change, you know. Luke chapter 15. I feel sorry for the man who's, and to those who are watching, it's great to have you, but I feel bad for the man who has to, or woman who has to work the camera when I'm here, because they always come up to me and say, you know, I'm exhausted, thank you. I have to go home and take a nap. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. You have it up there. A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, please give me my portion of goods that befall me. And he divided them unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And when he would have fain starved, and filled his belly with the husk that swine did eat, and no man gave him anything. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'll arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of the hired servants. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us make merry. For this is my son who was dead and is now alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to make merry. Now his eldest son was in the field, and he came and he drew nigh to the house, and he heard the music, and he said to one of his servants, yo, what's going on? And he said unto him, thy brother has come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out to him and entreated him. And he said unto his father, you know, all these years I've served thee and never transgressed at any time your commandment, and yet you never even gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art forever with me, and all that I have is thine. It is meet, it is right that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. I just want to say a couple opening things and we'll pray. I love this about Jesus. The Pharisees and the scribes have come to him upset because they don't like the way of his lifestyle. And he's going to answer them as he often does in parables and stories. This is the third one. It is the unveiling of heaven's passion. And this morning I want us to be there. I want you to walk with me, and I want us to experience this story together. And I want us to feel the emotion of it, and this morning, get a fresh grip on this incredible passion of this heavenly person known as our Father. Father, I thank you so much for this morning, for the incredible Bible text. From cover to cover, it has been said that he is in it. And this morning I'm praying and I'm asking for the revelation of Jesus Christ to be all of ours. That the revelation of the kingdom of God that has been freely given to us no longer suffers violence. It is ours. The fullness of it is ours. That this morning we may see you and apprehend you in a new way. And that wherever we are, whoever we are, we will just behold you and understand and see the incredible passion you have for us individually, our families, our nation, and the world. Father, I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Here there's a father, and he has obviously great wealth. He has two sons, and his younger son has come to him and said, Dad, I want my inheritance. And we don't know how long in the Greek language, especially, there's not a chronology like the Hebrews. You don't know the space of time, but I'm going to maybe just talk about that just a little bit. And after a little while, the son finally left. It's amazing to me that the father says nothing to him. There are so many things in the story that just boggle my mind. He doesn't say anything to him. He lets him go. The son doesn't change his name. He doesn't say, I'm no longer of that household. I'm no longer of that family. He just is going to go on his own journey. He just wants to do his thing, his way. And so he goes a long way off to a far country. We don't know how far away. Is it months of travel? Is it years of travel? Did he travel on water? We don't really know. We don't even know the nation. But we know it's a long way off. And man, this young man is just having a pate. I mean, he's just doing whatever he wants to do. He's spending money, buying money, getting all kinds of friends. And before we know it, again, is it months, is it years? We don't really know. But he has come to a point that he has spent all the money he has inherited. Everything his father had planned for him, everything his father had dreamed about him, everything his father had kept just for him, he has wasted it all. It's called unrighteous living. He has just simply spent it on himself. All of a sudden, while he is in this distant country, a great famine comes. It is so bad that he can't find any work. He can't find any place to be. And he has to, really the language is, enslave himself to a man of that country. Here he is, a young man that at one time had everything any young man could have wanted. He's enslaved to a man who is going to have him feed the swine. I mean, it's a Hebrew audience. There couldn't be a worse place for a Jewish boy than feeding pigs. And so he is there, and we don't know how long. I imagine it could be months he is there. He is growing so hungry, not any one of the people that he paid for and bought for, not anyone is helping him. He has no friends. He is totally alone. And he's to the point that he's starving, that he's now looking at the husks that the pigs are eating, he's even contemplating eating them with the pigs. I love this terms that Jesus used. I love Jesus' language. He said he came to himself. He just realized that his father's servants, have bread to spare. And here he is about to eat the food of pigs, the husks of corn for the swine. He begins to think and contemplate everything that's happened. And I can feel his emotion. He begins to think, I've got to arise and go back to my father's house. And when I get there, I've got to tell him, Father, I'm not even worthy to be your son anymore. The humiliation that he's experiencing of wasting everything his father's given him, everything his father dreamed of, everything that was his inheritance, because he decided on his own journey, he wasted it all. And he says, you know, I'm not even worthy to be a son anymore. Just, if you would, just let me be a servant. That's it. If I could just, I mean, I would be willing to just go back to my father's house just to be a servant. Nothing else, nothing more. Just a servant, just like the servants. I mean, I would be more than happy to do that. I can imagine because Jesus pauses, he doesn't immediately go. I'm sure as I would, he's just rethinking, recontemplating, going over and over again why he made that decision and what a mistake it was. And that long walk back to his father's house, and he's going to say it, and he has no idea how his father responds. He has no idea his father's heart. He doesn't. He finally arises and he makes his way back. I mean, I can only imagine the odor, the way he looked. He has no idea, though, that from the day he walked down that road, his father watched him. Though he let him go and he didn't say anything, he didn't threaten him, he didn't say you're making a mistake, he let him go. He had no idea that every single day, was it a week, was it a month, was it a year, was it a decade, his father looked for the day that his son would return. It was his father's passion, longing for the day that his son would walk down that road again. Finally, the day came. Oh, the father looked down with almost disbelief. He saw him. His father, and I love Jesus' words, I love his story. He ran to him, kissed him, and hugged him. Jesus' word was he had compassion over him. He didn't stand there with that look, clicking his tongue. Look at that. Evaluating by the odor, or by the look, or by the feet, or by the attitude where he's been, or the humiliation. None of those things. He just longed for that returning son to return. The son came to him and pushed him off, as probably I would, in humiliation. He said, whoa, 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 no, Dad, wait. Dad, listen. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned before you. I'm not worthy to be called your son, Dad. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just even if you'd just be willing to let me be a servant, that would be enough for me. I love this. The father doesn't even answer him. Doesn't even give him a word. He immediately says to his servant, go get the robe. Oh, please, I want you to know, in this culture, every wealthy home had a special closet. It had one robe in it. The robe was to give honor to the most honored person in the house. It wasn't his robe from his bedroom. It wasn't his robe that was left over. It wasn't his brother's old robe or his father's old robe. Oh, no, no, no. This was the robe that he knew was kept for the greatest man in the house at the time, the man or the woman that would have the greatest honor. Go get the robe. He put it on him. He had no idea, but the father was just reinstating the honor that was to be with his son. He was honoring his son, even in his humiliation, even in his despair, even in his loss, even in everything he did, even coming from his own journey. He's standing there with the robe. I would have had my head down in almost disbelief that my father would even consider such a thing. He said to another servant, go get the ring. Oh, the son knew immediately what that meant. You see, a wealthy man had a ring that he would put on. It was the stamp of the family. And no matter where he went, no matter what he bought, he just stamped it. He didn't have to have money or credit cards. This was the authority of the father's house. This was the authority of the father's kingdom. This was the authority of the father's name. Anyone saw him with that ring, they knew that he represented all of the father. It represented all of the kingdom. He represented everything. He put it on his hand. After all that he had lost, all that he extinguished, the father was reinstating him of who he was in his father's house and in his father's kingdom. This amazes me, this next one. Let me just get up here for a second. The father looked down at his feet. I mean, what could his shoes have looked like? I mean, you know, there's an amazing thing about our feet, our shoes. Our shoes tell the truth of where we've been. They mark where we have been and, in a sense, where we're going. And it has the odor on them. I mean, what did they look like? I mean, were they ripped? Were they torn? Were they the same shoes he left with? Maybe he had no shoes at all. Maybe he had worn them out so bad that he had been barefoot this whole time and his feet were bleeding and sore. They said something. His father looked at him and didn't judge the walk, didn't judge the place. He said immediately, go get him some new shoes. The feet and the shoes speak about where our walk is going, the direction we're headed. He was reinstating him back in the Father's will, the Father's purpose. He was setting his son back on a course he was supposed to be from the very beginning. The Father was making up all the time he had lost on his own journey. Incredible. Then he said, get the fatted calf. Man, that fatted calf was something the Father invested in. That was kept for maybe the president, maybe the prime minister, maybe the governor, maybe a wealthy man. Oh, no, no, the father knew this son was worth more than any one of them. Get the fatted calf. The servants thought, whew, it's party time. So they said, yeah, let's do it. And man, there was making merry. Boy, if you don't mind me, just for a big parenthesis, I so want us to get a hold of this kingdom that is the kingdom of Mary. It is a constant celebration. It's a marriage feast that never ends and will not until we see him. They're making merry. Man, the sound of the house is just, it's going crazy. Well, there's the older son, and he's been as he's been all these years, plowing in the field. We don't know what season it is. Is he plowing to plant seed? So every season he'd plow. You see, the son's been thinking, we know it by his words. He's making sure that he does everything his father's commanded him. Maybe this was a season of seeding. He's seeding. Maybe it's a season of having to pick the fruit. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. Maybe it was a season of overturning the old crop because of winter coming. We don't know the season. Jesus doesn't tell us, but the son is contemplating. He's been serving his father, and he knows that obedience is necessary and obeying his father is necessary, and he knows that. His words going to be in his father are going to be in a moment that I've enslaved myself to you all these years. That's the word he's going to use. He's been serving his father, but his idea has been, I've just simply enslaved myself to you because I know it's right. So he's just plowing. Toward the end of the day, we know because he's coming from the field, so He's tired. He's weary. He's worn out. Boy, I relate to this one. He really doesn't see the benefit of this enslavement to his father to be obedient and to do the right thing. He doesn't really understand and get the idea of plowing in his father's kingdom and seeding in his father's kingdom. He doesn't really get it. He's just doing it because it's the right thing to do. So he comes back, and as he's coming from the field and he's about to wash up, he hears the noise coming from the house. He's thinking, what's going on? He's here and they're there. And so he has one of his slaves, servants, come here, what's going on? And he says, dude, you're not going to believe it. Your brother, he's back. Unbelievable, your father cannot believe it. With tears in his eyes and joy in his face, your brother was lost and he's found. We thought he was dead. He's alive. The brother pushed the slave away. He goes, he said, what are you doing? Come on, I'm not going there. Kidding me. Can't believe all these years I've been here doing everything I'm supposed to do, being everything I'm supposed to be. The one time did my father even offer, forget the fatted calf, not even a goat, that I could chill out with my friends. So his father comes and he says to him, son, what's going on? He pushed him away. He said, what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Not one time have I ever disobeyed you. I've obeyed every one of your commandments. I've worked in your field. Did you ever even one time offer even a goat to me that I might make merry with my friends? And the father looks at him astonished. I needed to hear these words. He said, son, you haven't known? You didn't know this all this time? And his son's looking like, known what? I have been here for you. Anytime you wanted me, I've been here for you, and everything I have has always been yours. We're doing the right thing. Your brother, who I thought was dead, is alive. He was lost, but now he's saved. It's right that we make merry. Maybe this morning you've been on your journey. Just took it, you know. I'm kind of done. You never left the house, never left the family, didn't change the name. But you've just been on your own journey, and somehow it's been costly. We feel like maybe the gifts and the things that our Father has so given us, we've just kind of wasted them away. I want you to know this morning. I don't want to see your hand. I want you to know this morning. Our Father has been longing for our return. Amen. And He wants to re-robe us, especially now. Bring the honor back. It doesn't matter what we lost. It's the returning and Him reestablishing us. He wants to reset the ring that the authority of the kingdom is back with us and the power of the kingdom is back with us. It doesn't matter where you've been. Isn't it amazing? Everybody judges our feet. Everybody wants to know where you've been. How have you been walking? Let me see where you are. Let me see what you're thinking. Not this Father. Not our Father. It doesn't matter where we've been. Or whether these feet or these shoes have been walking in the right way or the wrong way, in the will of God or out of the will of God, it doesn't matter. In the return, He resets the shoes and He causes us to re-walk the right walk, and He sets us back on the course and He causes us to once again be in His will. Only He can make up the time that we've been on our own journey. He's just looking for the moment of our return. If that's you this morning, today is your day. But I've got to tell you, I relate more to this brother. I've contemplated over time, at times, what has really been the purpose of, which I saw sometimes was serving him because I know it's right. Obeying him because I know I'm supposed to. I didn't realize that he was always there for me, for us. All I had to do was draw near and he was there. And everything he has is ours, mine, yours. I don't plow anymore with that same thought. I wonder if this is the value of this, and I can't understand how it could be. Oh, no, no, no. I understand now what an honor it is. I'm not enslaved. I'm in love. Boy, there's so many things I want to do right now, you know. And I don't want to do hands. I really don't want you to come to the front just because I want to have some time to be personal. That we have come to a great moment and a great time. It isn't a season. It is a change of our God's ultimate intention. If there is ever a day to re-embrace the kingdom, it's now. If there is ever a day to re-embrace the purpose of God and the plan of God, it is now. If there's ever a day to let yesterday go and to have our face set for tomorrow, it is now. You okay? I'm done. Are we good? All right, great. Oh, I so want you to stand. I want you to sit. I want you to come to the altar. I want you to do everything. Yeah, but I can't have you do all those things because that just isn't going to work very well. So I can just take a couple minutes. All right, are we good? Yeah. Stand with me just so you get to stretch a little bit. Then I'm going to have you sit back down, okay? Yeah, isn't that good? Yeah, these are nice chairs, but, you know, 40 minutes is still 40 minutes. Yeah, beautiful. What a great story, isn't it? You know it's not, the prodigal son is not really the right word. It really should be the love of our Father and the revelation of his passion and heart toward us. Could you just, if you don't mind, just with me, just appreciation to him. Sit, please. Yeah. Sit. Is this your wife? Okay. My sister, listen, I just want you to know the Lord, just in a parenthesis with the word to him, is you're going to see the Lord work in restoration and refreshing and reviving of your heart and spirit in a way that's not possible. It is so supernatural. Even now, the Lord is reaching in. You know, he has this way of wrapping his hand around our hearts. And he doesn't squeeze us so much to bring anxiety, but he causes the blood to move in a way it never has. He brings us, as the Psalms will say, the youthfulness of the eagle back to us that we might be able to soar again. My sister, the word of the Lord always burned within your heart, and the passion for the kingdom was always there. And it's amazing. Sometimes the winds blow contrary. The north and the east wind have been blowing in your life, both of your lives. It's a wind that just brings, seems to be always chastening. It always seems to be cleaning. It just never seems to be refreshing. But I want you to know the Lord has stilled the winds for the last decade. But he's causing the east wind and the west wind to come in your direction. The south wind and the west wind, excuse me, the south wind is going to begin blowing. You've already felt it, but this is going to be a year of refreshing and reviving. People are going to say to you, what did you do? Get your face lifted? Or did you get your chin? You get some Botox in your face? What's going on with your face? It's just going to be the light of the light of God permeating through your face. It is going to be the refreshing of God. It's going to be fresh life to you. And the west wind will come because, as I said to him, even when I looked over and I saw him again, God will establish his covenant with the two of you and your people and the ones that you love. And he has this way of reaching out to the sons and of the daughters and bring reconciliations naturally and spiritually. He causes things that cannot come together to come together. And the Lord is already commanding the ones who are far off and need the broken places and the breached places to be made whole and to be made up, that you might be able to hear again and see again the ones that you love and adore. And God will do what only God can do, girl. I'm just telling you right now, listen, this happens though. When he stands, now he's always sitting, but I know this by Bible, but I know this by him. When he stands up in his holy habitation, which he's doing right now, when he stands up, the earth becomes silent. And the world knows it. Everybody knows when God raised up like this, something's about to change. Only he can change. That's exactly what's happening. And he is rising up out of his holy habitation to speak into the earth, especially to your seed and to your people and to your place, your terra firma. And God is going to cause things to be like they've never been. The dryness, he's changing. He's causing it to be watered, well watered. He's causing it to bloom. He's just causing the seeds that you've planted and you've sown that have been so dormant, he's commanding them that they might have life again. Watch and see what he will do. So this is really, I was going to wait, but I need to make sure I get him in the church in the next service, all right? This is really the day of the visitation of the Lord in a way you've not known before. And so he's drawn nearer to increase the two of you. You know, Matthew's correct that no man could add a stature to his height, but God adds stature to a man's spiritual life and spiritual dimensions. And it's happening with both of you. This is amazing to me because it doesn't usually happen simultaneously. Even in my life with Linda, we were in separate schools for so long, but God at the same time is awakening and arising you. It isn't awakening from sleep. It's causing a beholding. It's causing you to behold what you've been seeing, to behold what you've been looking at. It is a greater dimension, a greater expansion of the ability to see and understand. Both of you, even this prophetic thing that's in both of you, you see God awaken it, especially within you, more than you ever have had ever known it, not out of the scriptures. But even now, you look into people's lives and you're so careful, you don't want to be judgmental. You don't worry, the Lord's already taking care of those things. But there's going to be a liberty, not so much what I'm doing right now, but a liberty to be able to see and speak and encourage. And the Lord's going to teach you his way in the prophetic word that you can encourage, and you can say thus without saying thus. You just encourage people, but he's going to allow you to begin to move in another dimension of spirit, another dimension of speaking from his mouth, from his sight, from his heart. He's going to allow that. That's something only he can allow because of the willingness of you to be who God has made you to be, not only in your own personal family, but in this marriage, in this family, in the family of God, with the people of God. You've allowed the Lord to, he's been almost painstakingly weaving you and designing you carefully. Everything about you is careful. He didn't just put a blob together and say, okay, there's the vessel. No, it's been very careful. Even the outside of the vessel is etched, and there's words upon it that don't need to be said now, but there's things that he's creating within you as he etches on the side of it. They'll blend in, and it'll be your character. It'll be who you are. It's happening right now. You have, both of you are moving into the greatest dimension of the kingdom of God and of the presence of God and understanding God that you've ever known. You will begin to see the Lord re-robe you as he already has done, as he's switching, as he expands the mantle, expands the call of God, as he's re-robing you, that you will be able to experience the dimensions of calling and of purpose. The pastoral heart's always been there, but there's also the teaching gift and this prophetic gift as well, and he's blending the three of them together, that you'll be a didactic champion. I mean, you will speak with great excellence, and you'll find him wanting, as you are. You're so critical of yourself and so critical of the things that you say. Critical. I love that about you. Not critical bad, but you want to be so sure that it's so accurate. It's the way he's made you. And so in this, you'll be that when you speak and you share and you talk and even around people, there'll be an exactness about you. There'll be such clarity. That's what he's building. So that the water will flow with such purity. It'll be much like Zechariah's prophecy to Zerubbabel. It'll be golden liquid, clear like oil, but it'll be words with oil, golden. It'll be that crystal clear that you could see through it, but it'd be like gold because God is working a divineness in both of you, that there'll be a declaration of who he is, especially the hidden parts of him, but it'll come with such ease and clarity that it will minister grace to every hearer, whether 5 years old or 105. You'll be able to cross culture and cross generations. That's exactly what the Lord's doing, so that there will not be a people that you cannot touch and a people you cannot reach. Stand with me, please. Stand with me, please. I'm only saying it again because I just want us to get it. I love the prophetic word, but this is the sure word of prophecy. What a moment for us that our, is it possible? Still boggles my mind as I'm speaking. Could our Father have this much love for us, me? Can it be? Oh, it be. If you've been on your journey, please return. If you've been a laborer for years, please know He is here. And everything He has is already ours. Father, I thank You for this morning. What an honor it is to be Yours. What an honor it is to be in the kingdom for such a time as this. I'm awed by what You're doing. I'm awed by Your declaration. I'm awed by what You've had hidden in You for us. I'm awed by it. Father, I thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.